The legalization of marijuana for recreational use on both sides of the state line has produced a huge boom in business, but part of even the legitimate business is still underground because even the squeaky cleanest of companies are unable to use banks for their financial transactions. Banks are federally backed and regulated, and the federal government still sees cannabis as illegal, a controlled substance. So the pot business is cash only. 2 weeks ago, the U.S. House passed the Safe Banking Act, safe for secure and fair enforcement. Now it's up to the Senate to move or not. Let's hear reaction from the cannabis industry. Kim London is the executive director of the Oregon Cannabis Association, joins us by phone. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you here. We also have one of the region's local folks here with us as well. Sarah Niestrath is the co-owner of Item 9 and Cloud Cover Farms, which is based in Eagle Point. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, it's actually Rolling Cascades Farm.
Rolling Cascades, okay.
Yeah,
we got that
thank
wrong.
You.
Okay, we'll fix that. Thank you so much. So let's start with the basic stuff. Describe the situation, Sarah, that you face now with no access to banks.
Well, it's pretty limited. We, we do end up operating primarily in cash because of the barriers to banking. Services. There are in Oregon two credit unions that will work with cannabis businesses. So that makes it technically an oligopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And one is Salal, and they only work with 9 counties in the entire state, and they don't actually open accounts to anyone in Jackson or Josephine County. So that leaves us in the Rogue Valley with only MAPS Credit Union as the only option. And so technically in Southern Oregon, we have a monopoly for banks. And even with MAPS, they are exclusively in Salem and the surrounding areas. So that's problematic for us as well. And so, we end up traveling with large quantities of cash from making our deliveries. We are a farm. So that's what we do, and it's producing the flower and making those deliveries to dispensaries. So we can easily make up to 50 to 100 pound deliveries, and we require cash on delivery. So that's a huge risk for us, and it's tedious for buyers, and it's really in the end, it is safer for everyone, whether you're a grower, a wholesaler, a processor, or the dispensaries, in terms of theft and financial transparency and reliability, for us to have these protections with the Safe Banking Act. And we actually received a couple of checks recently that we can't cash or deposit because they're written to our business name. And, we have to be very cautious with all of our transactions. And that, it forces us to operate in cash, and that's not safe for anyone.
So, and, Kim London, this is the story for everybody across Oregon in the same business, isn't it? Other than for the two places that have those credit unions that Sarah mentioned.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, if you just think about when you're driving around and you see, we all see how the cannabis industry is booming here and in California as well. And you just think about what those businesses are doing to do their day-to-day operations in cash. And, everything from paying their employees to paying their taxes, they all have to find a way to transport large amounts of cash to get those things done. And like Sarah said, it's also, a safety issue. We don't want folks traveling around with that much cash. These businesses are totally legitimate and legal. They're operating the same kind of reporting that every other business is doing. They're just having to count the cash to actually do it.
Well, it certainly explains why SAFE is part of the name of the act, although it is an acronym for Secure and Fair Enforcement Banking Act. This is the one that passed the House of Representatives on September 25th. 321 yes votes to 103 no votes. As written, would it fling open the doors of the banks for you to use, Kim?
It would. So what it does is it creates a safe harbor for banks dealing with legitimate cannabis companies. So businesses operating legally in states where it is legal. So Oregon, California, and there's 33 states right now in the U.S. that have some form of legal cannabis. So what it allows is it protects those funds for, with the FDIC, which allows banks to feel comfortable then to start banking. So right now, really what that would do is it would take us from 1 to 2 credit unions in Oregon to open up the door for a competition for banks across the state to get into this space.
We're talking again about the Safe Banking Act, a Secure and Fair Enforcement Banking Act, which would basically let the cannabis industry into banks in this country. It passed the House of Representatives. It is waiting for action in the Senate. Kim London's executive director of the Oregon Cannabis Association. Sarah Niestrath is the co-owner of Rolling Cascade Farms in Eagle Point. You can join our conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. If the banks do have the capability, though, Sarah, have you had any discussions with bankers about how much they would like to bring you into their establishments?
I haven't had that chance. I actually can't speak too much about those credit unions, but we've really just had to be completely under the radar. We are a big fan of money orders. We end up having to use money orders for many expenses. Sometimes I have to go to different locations to buy multiple money orders when they're larger payments, because you have a limit to what you can purchase in a day at a location without giving your social security number. And so that becomes yet another obstacle. And it's really frustrating to spend our energy working around those issues. I really feel for retailers because they can have such an immense amount of financial activity every day. And so, I know for them that those issues can be magnified, even though we don't own a dispensary, but I can certainly feel for how much this affects them.
So, Kim London, as I read the features of the bill, it seems like it's less about what happens in the bank or in transactions between banks and cannabis businesses than it is just about federal regulators no longer being able to penalize the banks for doing business with cannabis businesses. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's correct. So all it does is open up the gates, basically, to say we're not going to touch this money, which then will allow the banks to start taking action. And, it's not just the businesses, although they'll probably be the largest player in the market. It's also employees. So Sarah mentioned retailers. I was just talking with a dispensary employee who's had her bank account frozen twice because the bank has found out she's paid by a cannabis company. So it's really, I foresee banks being very excited to jump into this space once they know they have federal protection to do so.
Sarah, does that sound familiar? I mean, it sounds like this can affect individuals as well as the businesses from what Kim's telling us then. Have you heard of that in your own travels?
Yes, I have definitely heard of different businesses having those issues. We worked with a dispensary that had their PayPal account closed. And so that, of course, became an issue for them and for us. And so, it's like having to be so very cautious about our transactions and not having those red flags. We have to think about, okay, let's see, we're making purchases at the hardware store. That's okay. We can put that on our card. But, if we purchase at a grow store, we should pay in cash because we don't want that to come up. And, for employees, it's difficult for them as well. Our employees, we pay them in money orders.
Wow. So security aside, it sounds like you really have to strategize a lot of things about how you're going to pay your bills.
Yeah. It's a lot of energy and time spent, strategizing that, we could very, very valuably spend in other areas.
I like to think about that quite a bit. Is, we have some amazing, innovative farmers and business owners who are working really hard to succeed in this space. And what could they do if they didn't have to spend so much time and resources on getting money orders and transporting cash? I'm really excited to see them put their energy to what they do best.
Well, so let's think about it in these terms, though, Kim. I mean, assuming that the doors are at least able to be open, that doesn't necessarily mean that they would be open. I mean, given that it's still early days, is cannabis considered a high-risk business, especially in the eyes of a usually risk-averse business like a bank?
Yeah. Right now, it's a high-risk industry because of just because of the technicality that it is a cash-based business. So we're held to reporting standards the same as any other high cash-based business. So that would help. The banking bill is going to, if it passes, which we are hopeful that it will, it's not going to happen right away, but it will open the doors for change to happen. So I'm hoping, you know, within the next year, as banks start to want to move into this space, they want more business, there'll be more creative ways and more movement to open up accounts for these people.
We are talking about legislation that has already passed the U.S. House that would allow cannabis-based businesses to use banks, which they are not able to do now because of the federal prohibition on marijuana still. Its fate rests in the Senate at the moment. We're talking to Kim London at the Oregon Cannabis Association and Sarah Niestrath, who is the co-owner of Rolling Cascade Farms in Eagle Point. Questions from you about what's going on here, join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Did you have much contact with Oregon House members in the run-up to the vote, Kim?
Yeah, we do work very closely with Representative Blumenauer's office, who co-sponsored this bill originally. And, you know, for him, it's, you know, he likes to talk about duffel bags of money, you know, going around the state, which nobody wants. It's not safe. And especially not safe when you're thinking about small business owners transporting this cash. So, he's been very supportive of our industry. And for him, it's also a social justice issue. I mean, we need to open up the door to financing to all players in this space, to all size businesses, and that's going to really help do this as well.
And Sarah Niestrath, your Congressmember, Greg Walden, who's a Republican, voted for this bill. I took a look at the roll call yesterday. Any surprise there?
I'm so sorry. I missed that last part that he... Did you say that he did vote?
Greg Walden did vote yes on the Safe Banking Act.
Yes, I am surprised, happily surprised, because it's typically not the direction that Republicans will vote. But I think that we, in Southern Oregon, we are particularly saturated with outdoor farms and greenhouse farms, as well as many dispensaries. And so I think that, you know, he probably had a lot of influence and a lot of encouragement to go that way. So
yeah, approximately half the Republicans in the House voted along with all the Democrats in favor of the Safe Banking Act. So now we're talking about the Senate prospects there. Kim London, you're talking to Jeff Merkley, I presume, who has introduced the Senate version of the bill. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley.
Yeah. We actually. We have been, and it is promising right now that this will go through. You know, like you said, about half of Republican representatives voted for the bill. This really is it's becoming a bipartisan issue, and that's how we are approaching these conversations. For transparency and for safety, that doesn't have to be like a party line issue. That can be something that we can all agree on, and there's definitely movement there on both sides. So we're hopeful right now.
All right, so you're hopeful for passage. I did see that there are some people in the cannabis business who are not necessarily happy with the move to regular banking because they fear it'll open the doors to big business, you know, big pharma, big tobacco to get into the cannabis business. Do you have any fears about that yourself or within the association, Kim?
Yeah, it's a concern, and I'm definitely protective, and we're protective of our small businesses, you know, here in Oregon, and I'm sure in California as well. Like, it's their small businesses that are really the innovators, and they're really creating, like, the premium craft product. But the feeling is that it's going to be good for all of us. Like, you know, Sarah has a small business, and they're struggling. There's no reason that opening up banking wouldn't be helpful for her as well. So we just need to, and those are conversations that we've been having with Merkley's office as well, and Blumenauer's, is how we can do this, but also continue to be mindful to help the smaller players.
So, Sarah, as currently configured, how many people do you have working with you at Rolling Cascade Farms?
Well, we have three full-time employees, including myself. My husband is the owner, and so he's not technically an employee, and we work every single day, he and I. And then during the busy times of the year, like right now is harvest, we bring in more people, so we can have up to 20, 25 people working for us. And so that, you know, most people get paid in cash, and, you know, we have the money orders for everyone else. And, yeah, so it's, It's a lot going on.
Have you ever totaled up the number of hours that you have to spend over the course of a week, a month, dealing with the no cash system, the extra time it takes to go get the money orders, for example?
Oh, gosh, I have not even thought to do that. It's probably a lot. And, it's certainly a good chunk of time to just coordinate those things.
In addition to any kind of hardware you might have, and that would range, I presume, from safes to, I don't know, firearms, what about people? Do you have to hire extra teams to be able to transport your loads of cash from place to place?
You know, we don't. We are one of those small craft cannabis farms, and so it's my husband and I that really run the whole operation with the help of our employees. And it's he and I, driving to the banks, mostly me driving to the banks. We have one employee that makes deliveries up north, and he will, be coming back with sometimes very large sums of cash. And yeah, we have a safe. That's about as secure as it gets in terms of keeping our cash.
But it sounds like you would really welcome an opportunity not to have that much cash on premises.
Yeah. It's certainly not ideal. It's not safe for anyone.
Now, if I can jump in, that's another example of helping smaller operators in the space. There are services that will collect cash in armored trucks. There's definitely those options out there for people, but they're expensive. So for a lot of the smaller operators, that just isn't an option. So they're left to think about who's going to transport the cash, how they're going to take different routes and different times of the day to not make a pattern, because they just can't afford those kind of services.
Sure. So, Kim London, it raises the overall question, though, about the cannabis business, which is, has it stabilized yet? It seems like there's a new change. There's some other wrinkle, some boom, some bust going on at each time in all the years since, there haven't been that many, since legalization in Oregon. Has it gotten to a stable point yet, do you think?
I think it's continuing to grow. I mean, we definitely, there are ups and there are downs, but overall we're continuing to grow and the market is continuing to be embraced by the broad community. So again, I talked about this, like the banking isn't really a bipartisan issue, and I think more and more cannabis is becoming a bipartisan issue. And,
mm-hmm. All right, so you mean banking is bipartisan and cannabis is becoming the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we will see what shakes out. The bill, again, is called the Safe Banking Act, SAFE as an acronym for Secure and Fair Enforcement Banking Act, which would take away some of the security concerns of the marijuana businesses right now in terms of having safes and having to carry cash around and get money orders and all that sort of thing. Kim London is the Executive Director of the Oregon Cannabis Association. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
Sarah Niestrath is the co-owner of Rolling Cascade Farms in Eagle Point. Thank you for talking to us as well.
Thanks so much.
So again, the total in the House of Representatives was 321 yes votes, 103 no votes, almost all Democrats, about half the Republicans. That was on September 25th. And now things go to the Senate, where a lot of legislation has been slowed, to put it mildly, of late. We'll keep you posted.